友们，大家好，欢迎收看《美国观察》。特朗普总统表示说，在接受了新冠病毒的抗体治疗之后，他的感觉非常棒，接下来会到佛罗里达州以及宾夕法尼亚州进行选举造势活动。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普总统10月8号星期四的晚上，在福克斯新闻网接受了主播和媒体的专访。在专访当中呢，他表示自己的复原情况良好，并且计划要在本周末开始选举的造势集会行动。特朗普总统说：“我状况很棒，我知道我状况很棒。我告诉你，我使用了再生元公司的疗法，效果真是惊人。我想，如果可以的话，我将试着在星期六晚上举办造势集会。如果我们有足够的时间准备。”但我们将要在佛罗里达举办集会，可能是星期六晚上在佛罗里达，回来之后可能第二天晚上在宾夕法尼亚州再办一场。总统的医生康利中校在星期四晚上发出声明，表示特朗普总统已经完成了白宫医疗团队的新冠治疗疗程。他的声明当中说，回家之后总统的体能检验保持稳定，没有任何病情恶化的可能迹象，整体来说他对治疗的反应良好，检查之后没有发现对治疗产生负面作用的证据。星期六将是上个星期四诊断确诊之后的第10天，而依此趋势，根据本医疗团队采取的先进诊断，此时我充分认为总统可以安全地回到与公众接触。在星期四晚上的福克斯新闻网访问当中，主播汉尼迪询问了特朗普总统，说在上个星期接受了病毒检验之后，他是否再度接受了病毒检测。特朗普总统回答，可能在星期五会做。到星期五截稿为止，白宫医生还没有发出新的诊断证明。此外，白宫首席经济顾问库德洛星期五的上午在白宫告诉记者，特朗普总统已经接受了一个修改过的新冠疫情经济纾困方案，不过呢，库德洛并没有提供详细的内容。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
美国国会民主党联邦众议员赵美心接受美国之音的专访，就亚裔美国人参政、如何应对新冠疫情以及中国人权等议题发表看法。接下来我们来看采访的第二部分。
It's always critical for our audience to also understand the U.S. Congress views and policies toward China. Some of your colleagues from both parties believe that China is the biggest threat to the national interest of the United States, and it's a generational challenge. Do you agree with this assessment?
I think that there are numerous challenges out there, and right now, of course, President Trump is mainly pointing the finger at China so that he can divert attention away from Russia. I'm thinking a lot about our elections right now, and Russia actually provides the greatest threat. They are actively interfering with our elections. We saw that they actively interfered in 2016. But every time there is evidence of this kind of interference and active aggression against us, President Trump turns the attention to China as a threat. Now, of course, I know that we have issues with China on topics like trade, other issues pertaining to human rights, so we need to deal with those issues. But for Trump and his followers, they are using the China threat at every single opportunity. And I believe that it really is because they don't want to have any blame on Russia. They want to basically change the subject.
Mm-hmm. You also mentioned that there are several issues that we need to deal with China. However, we don't hear as much discussion on China from Democratic Party as Republican Party. Do you see a sense of urgency or consensus across the party lines when it comes to how to tackle the challenge posed by Beijing?
I think you're wrong in saying that there's not as much discussion on China from the Democratic Party. Actually, it's the Democratic Party, our Democratic caucus, that put a bill on the floor just this last week to protest what was happening with the Uyghurs.
Right.
That was this past week to condemn the imprisonment of the Uyghurs as wrong, and also to say that we do not accept any products that are made through the forced labor of Uyghurs. Mm-hmm. And we also had several resolutions passed on protecting Hong Kong's autonomy and freedom. And so we have done that. We've blocked the import of goods from Xinjiang province, and we also have sanctions for those who would try to violate that. So on human rights, I would have to say that the Democratic Party and caucus have been very strong on those issues.
You mentioned the human rights issues in China. That's probably one of the most issues that both parties agreed to work on together. But among all of the threats from China, from human rights violations, censorship, military competition, or supply chain reliance on China, among all of these challenges, which ones are the most alarming to you?
Well, I do think that the human rights issues are very, very alarming. And we're talking about 1 million Uyghurs that are being put into these camps. I actually also visited the Dalai Lama in India and was able to hear from numerous Tibetans on what happened to them. And the human rights also has to do with all the people that are being put under surveillance in China. And then if they say something that is not pleasing to the Chinese government, then they are questioned or even put in prison, such as that first doctor who reported on the threat of coronavirus. Mm-hmm. He was taken in, and yet all he was trying to do was to warn the Chinese people in the world about the threat of coronavirus. So that is very, very troubling, and that concerns me greatly.
Mm-hmm. And then my last question is a broader picture of U.S.-China relations. Back in July, Secretary Pompeo called Chinese people to work with the U.S. to transform or to alter Chinese Communist Party's behaviors. What's your take on that call, and how can the U.S. reach out to or work with the Chinese people and the international community to balance China's rise of influence? We know there are a lot of Chinese Americans or Chinese immigrants in your district.
Oh, yes. Well, I think it's important for us to communicate with the Chinese people, because the people of China is different from the government of China. And I think the people of China clearly want the freedom to speak, the freedom to move around, the freedom to be able to have an autonomous life. I think that they would want people to be treated equally and fairly. And so we need to encourage those who have those feelings, and we need to be able to support them. That's why it was important for us to pass these bills and resolutions on the mistreatment of the Uyghurs, and also to support the Hong Kong autonomy movement.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Congresswoman Chu, for speaking with Voice of America. Appreciate your time and then participation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. 中共媒体也称美国国会议员克里斯·史密斯为反华老手、反华劳模，他也是两次进入北京制裁名单的美国官员之一。而这些特殊的荣誉，正说明他在美国国会对华政策上的重要作用。接下来，我们来看一则关于史密斯议员的人物短片。
When you meet the people who have been victimized by it, it's transformational. You then come to the view that I must do more. Million people, and that's a conservative estimate, are in concentration camps. China has had a very bad record of human rights. This is like, it can't get any worse than this.
We know that 22% of the cotton worldwide is coming from Xinjiang. We believe it really is a growing, fast escalating exploitation of the workforce. Forced labor is a crime against humanity. There's a terrible concern, a rising concern about Hong Kong. The trajectory is not good for Hong Kong. Much of us are very concerned about erosions of the basic law. What motivates me is my faith. I believe passionately in protecting others. You can't respect your own people. How can you command respect from people in other countries? We care about all the people. People say sometimes, why do Americans care so much? Because we have everybody here. The U.S. cannot be neutral when human rights are trampled with impunity or when crimes against humanity are being committed as we speak. Either you stand with Tank Man or you stand with the tank. There is no middle ground. Chinese people deserve better than dictatorship. They deserve free and fair elections. China must end torture, forced abortion, its persecution of religion. This bill, the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, now installed in 2019. If we did this in Tiananmen Square, everybody here would be arrested, tortured. I'm sure I would be deported immediately to the airport. They have designs on a larger role for China in the world that is unseemly because it's a dictatorship. If they were a democracy, we'd welcome them. The Chinese people are wonderful people. China is a superpower. Xi Jinping admires the egregious behavior of Mao Zedong.
美国政府周四对法院的裁决提出上诉，该裁决暂停了特朗普当局对于中国视频分享应用TikTok的禁令。另一方面，美国2022年抽签移民计划中取消了对香港的特殊待遇，香港人无法再获得抽签绿卡的机会。美国政府周四对法院裁决提出上诉，该裁决暂停了特朗普当局对中国视频分享应用TikTok禁令。 该上诉提交至华盛顿特区巡回上诉法院。稍早前，律师杰弗里·洛维茨基提交了支持 TikTok 母公司字节跳动的文件，要求法官永久暂停特朗普对该应用程序的禁令。这项禁令目前定于11月12日生效。美国地区法官卡尔·尼克尔斯批准了一项初步禁令，暂停了在9月27日生效的禁止在美国下载和升级 TikTok 行政命令。尼克尔斯说，美国政府可能越权使用国际紧急经济权利法。 并且可能违反了宪法第一修正案对言论自由的保护。特朗普于8月6日签署了一项行政命令，称 TikTok 和微信是国家安全威胁，因为这些公司可能将用户的个人数据交给北京。两家公司都否认了这种说法。特朗普的行政命令将分两个阶段生效。字节跳动8月24日起诉特朗普，商务部长罗斯和商务部称美国提供的证据不足以支持安全威胁的说法。 并要求法官将禁令限制在第一阶段。在法官裁定暂停禁令后，商务部为特朗普禁止 TikTok 的行政命令进行了辩护，称尽管商务部将遵守法院关于推迟的裁定，但他们打算大力捍卫该行政命令。商务部在一份声明中表示， 行政命令完全符合法律，促进正当的国家安全利益。
新一轮的绿卡抽签计划于10月7日至11月10日接受申请，共提供5.5万个绿卡名额。中签者完成面试等程序后，最快可于2022年移民美国。由于中国移民数量超过相关名额规定，所以中国公民不能参加抽签。在港版国安法实施后，美国取消了对香港的特殊待遇，居民无缘抽签。据统计，上一轮的抽签移民计划共有3万多名港人提出申请。在7日发布的计划公告中，澳门或台湾出生的居民仍然符合抽签资格。特朗普总统星期四对福克斯商业频道说，美国在阿战争持续了19年，美国一直在把住在阿富汗的美军撤回来，目前已经减少到4000，今年年底前将全部撤出。特朗普总统还表示，他希望美国撤出部署在海外的军队，以减少军队的消耗，为针对中国和俄罗斯做好准备。他说，美国驻军遍布世界会让军队受到消耗，而美国必须时刻为中国、俄罗斯和其他地方的局势做好准备。特朗普总统说，如果他再次当选的话，他还会向中国征收关税。
今年的美国总统大选投票日还有不到一个月的时间，社交媒体公司推特发布了更加严格的管理措施，防止任何人阻碍或者干涉今年的大选。
周四，推特官方发布的文件中表示，即日起对于错误的宣称某一位候选人获胜的推文将予以标注。对于鼓励暴力或要求民众干涉大选结果、干涉投票站顺利运行的推文，推特可以直接删除。对于政治人物、粉丝数超过10万的美国用户和引起较大反响的用户，推特对其有误导性的推文将加注警示和限制。比如民众必须先阅读警示才能点击查看推文。从10月20日起，推特也将鼓励用户更多的使用引用而非转推的功能，即添加自己的评论而非直接转载其他用户的推文。大选在即，社交媒体平台普遍收紧管理措施。脸书在昨天宣布禁止使用军事化语言，鼓励民众前往投票站监票，并将拒绝过早宣告竞选胜利或暗示官方结果无效的广告。周五，密西根州执法机关公布了因涉嫌密谋绑架该州州长及袭击州议会而被逮捕的4名男子的面部照片，另有9名人员也被逮捕。其中一人周五被提审，出现在法庭上。这名嫌疑人的律师进行了无罪辩护，而地方法官为他设定了$25万现金的保释金。根据密西根州和联邦刑事诉状，这13名嫌疑人计划绑架民主党籍州长惠特莫，后者因该州新冠病毒的限制措施而公开与共和党籍的特朗普总统发生争执。检察官称，这些人讨论要征集200名支持者一起冲击该州的州议会大厦，并挟持人质，但在之后改变计划，准备在惠特莫的度假屋绑架他。美国之音新闻报道。
在最近的一些全国民调中，支持率有所下降，不过他在广大的农村地区仍然拥有众多的支持，因为在这些地区，新的贸易协定以及政府对农业的大量援助广受欢迎。
今年早些时候，罗恩·摩尔正准备迎接跟中国贸易变化莫测的另一个年头。中国是他在伊利诺伊州的农场种植大豆的最大买主之一，但他没有料到全球新冠病毒大流行，食品供应链因此动摇，压低了牲口的批发价格，也压低了牲口的饲料批发价格。
That decimated the demand for the grains that provide the feed for the livestock.
美国农业部的报告说，在贸易战中，大豆价格在2014年和2019年间下跌 35%， 这发生在新冠大流行导致中国进一步减少购买之前。
It was a double whammy, so to speak.
玉米是温德尔绍曼农场的主要作物之一，在2014和2019年之间价格下跌了 44%， 它到现在还没有看到大幅反弹。
It's been a pretty ugly year price-wise. Most of what I sold was way below what I'd hoped for.
这就是为什么摩尔和绍曼都说，从2018年以来，美国农业部向农民提供的市场促进计划款项，让他们在特朗普政府就新贸易协议进行谈判时得以维持生计。
It was certainly a big help. I'm sure there are people that wouldn't have had anything to eat if it didn't happen.
It gives us a lifeline. We're still trading water. We need more profitability, more better markets for us to get out of the water and get up on dry land.
由于疫情大流行限制了美国的粮食供应，美国农业部今年早些时候宣布了一项190亿美元的援助计划，九月间进行另一轮140亿美元的农业援助。伊利诺伊州农业局的全国立法主任说，从2016年以来，政府支出总额将近1000亿美元，产生了积极的影响。
We've been able to stem the tide of farm bankruptcies. Farmers, while they haven't been spending extravagantly, have been able to pay for feed, seed, and fertilizer to get another crop in the ground.
但温德尔·绍曼说，这种规模的政府援助不可能永远持续下去。
There's not enough money for the government to just keep giving everybody a living. That just doesn't work.
不过他把贸易问题的进展归功于特朗普总统，他并希望美国和中国达成永久性的协议。
The way he's treated farmers and kept us going, that didn't have to happen. It's pretty surprising for a guy that's got a New York history, knows very little about agriculture to be supportive of agriculture. I like what he's done. I don't like the way he talks sometimes. I get frustrated with that. You could have some better manners.
Hey, man.
这就是民主党总统候选人乔·拜登关于两党合作的信息引起绍曼共鸣的原因。
You've got to have compromise. You've got to have people working together.
绍曼不喜欢的是他感觉到，为了对抗气候改变而要彻底改革美国经济的要求。
I haven't heard anybody talking about a battery-driven tractor yet. What am I going to plant with? This talk just seems so often seems nonsensical to me.
民意调查显示，特朗普总统以50%比33%领先拜登17个百分点。有59%的农民表示，如果没有农业部的市场促进计划和新冠病毒食品援助计划，他们将在财务上陷入挣扎。
Regardless of some of the outcomes or how people want to look at it, I think President Trump has, you know, focused attention on rural America, where maybe that hasn't been the case in quite a few years.
特朗普总统的全国民意调查数字下降之际，他在农村地区的声望却历久不衰。尽管伊利诺伊州许多农民表达对特朗普的支持，但最近一次包括美国第三大城市芝加哥在内的全州民意调查显示，拜登以61%对36%领先25个百分点。美国之音记者法拉报伊利诺伊州罗斯维尔报道。
在这个选举季节，年轻的选民们要求采取措施对抗气候变化。不过，两党的年轻选民们对于如何实现这样一个目标有着不同的看法。
We're taking an electric car around the entire United States to showcase market-based, innovative ways to solve climate change.
22岁的本·吉巴克是共和党，他说：“保守的价值观可以解决气候变化。”
There needs to be kind of this transformation.Of environmentalism from being the token Democrat issue to being an issue that both sides have a stake at the table on. Republicans and conservatives tend to live in rural areas. They tend to live on farms and on ranches and in the mountains. They care about the environment.
巴克的组织正在提出一个气候合同的建议，其中有一条呼吁在逐步向更清洁的经济过渡期间，使用技术来消除石化燃料中的碳排放。就民主党而言，许多民主党人支持绿色新政，建议采取更迅速、更广泛的行动。不过，也有许多人对两党协商持开放态度。
We can debate on policy and make compromises at the basis of what we believe in is that every person deserves a chance to live in like a world that isn't burning and flooding.
但在11月总统大选以前，美国人最关心的问题是新冠病毒大流行和经济。 谈到气候变化问题，特朗普总统的支持者和他的民主党对手拜登的支持者之间存在巨大的鸿沟。
Just 17% of Trump supporters say that climate change is a very important issue to them this fall, but very different views among Joe Biden supporters. Almost 7 in 10, or 68%, say that climate change is a very important issue to their votes.
然而，根据皮尤研究中心的民意调查发现，年轻人之间的党派分歧明显较小。
Young Republicans really think the country should prioritize alternative energy development, things like wind and solar power.And that's a pretty big difference because older Republicans are still a bit more supportive of oil, coal, natural gas.
在第一次总统选举辩论中，只简短的就气候变化进行讨论，但35岁以下的选民希望听到更多。
It's an issue that deserves far more time to be discussed and far more time for our candidates to be asked those questions because this is about our future.
Young voters want to be more responsible about things going forward, whether that's us on our campuses and.You know, just dealing with like daily lifestyle changes, but also, you know, making sure that we are talking to our legislators.
根据独立投票组织的统计，独立选民占选民总数的40%，他们不分年龄，都支持主要的结构改革。虽然美国的年轻人对处理气候变化的方式有不同看法，但他们都希望有解决方案。
Most young people are very passionate and agree about the importance and impact of addressing climate change.Why is it taken for granted that the U.S. government cannot be updated and reinvented so that it addresses the problems that are facing today?
年轻选民现在面临的挑战是把热情化为行动。
Typically, fewer than half of younger voters end up actually voting. And every 4 years, there's a lot of conversation, will young people vote at higher rates than they have in the past? And the most direct answer is we don't know.
美国之音记者巴尔德拉斯，华盛顿报道。
土耳其在阿塞拜疆与亚美尼亚的冲突中对阿塞拜疆的支持正在受到越来越多的审视。尽管面临国际社会的压力，但是土耳其仍然拒绝呼吁和平停火，并且增加了其对阿塞拜疆军队的支持。来看报道。
阿塞拜疆正在纳戈尔诺卡拉巴赫节节胜利，以控制这片亚美尼亚分离主义者所在的地区。分析人士说，土耳其对阿塞拜疆在军事力量上的强力支持是这场冲突中的一个重要因素。
The effectiveness of the Azerbaijan forces has to do with this deepened military cooperation with Turkey that has involved the training of the Azerbaijan forces, that has involved the transfer of know-how, but also the transfer of strategic assets.
土耳其对阿塞拜疆深入的军事支持是为了在这片区域施加影响。不过，随着阿塞拜疆和亚美尼亚武装力量针对对方城市的攻击以及平民伤亡数量的上升，由此引发的对更广泛冲突的恐惧正在增长。同时，国际社会正对土耳其施压，希望其推动停火。
We are deeply concerned by the escalation of hostilities. All sides should immediately cease fighting.And find a way forward towards a peaceful resolution. And I expect Turkey to use its considerable influence to calm tensions.
阿塞拜疆总统阿里耶夫希望土耳其能参与到结束冲突的调解之中，土耳其则要求亚美尼亚做出让步。
First, Armenia should immediately stop firing and give up the territories it is occupying, and should leave these territories. And it should give a mandate with a timeline for this and guarantee Azerbaijan's territorial integrity.
国际外交力量依然在努力推动无条件停火。然而，分析人士称，其他国家似乎并不愿意干预，而这正是土耳其想要的。
The international community looks at this conflict.As if it is contained, not likely to destabilize the region, and therefore it probably won't go beyond these rhetorical gestures of calling for ceasefire, but essentially not doing much to compel countries.
亚美尼亚的紧密盟友俄罗斯目前似乎不会对这场冲突进行干预，而是同样在呼吁停火。然而，战斗还在持续，没有停止的迹象。美国之音记者多利安·琼斯，伊斯坦布尔报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。